Today's daf in Masechet Megillah, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Yudchet, and we'd already gotten up to the question of why we need Shimon HaPakuli, because we had gone through all of the psukim, and we had seen that this was something that was decided from the time of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah with Nevi'im. What are we talking about? Like, years later, Shimon HaPakuli, that he was Mesader everything. I mean, we already had the Seder. It was done a la Seder. So why do we need Shimon HaPakuli's new Seder? So we had gotten up to the words V'chimi Acher D'mea V'esrim is where it was, six lines down from the first of the wide lines, the middle-sized lines. V'chimi Acher D'mea V'esrim Z'kenim U'mihem Kama Nevi'im Tiknu Tefillah al HaSeder Shimon HaPakuli, my he's there, I understand. So what was gained by this whole thing of Shimon HaPakuli to tell us something that was known centuries before? It's really strange. Because after all, it was already arranged, no? No, says the Gemara, it was. But just like we said before at the beginning of the Masechet, where we had talked about the Inyonim of the Mansepach, and we ended up saying that Shichachum, the Chazar v'Sidrum, that's exactly what we say here about the nature of the Tsha Esrei Brochos. They had forgotten them, and he went back and was Mesader them, which of course is absurd. How could people have forgotten the Seder that they've been davening every single day, three times a day? And so the Ben Ish Chai says that what does it says that they needed to reconstruct where the Seder came from. Not that, in other words, they knew the way that they davened, but they couldn't justify it because they weren't able to be omed again on the mekeres that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah had for the Seder HaTfilah. And those mekeres are not just remuzim. They are essential understanding of the way a person is supposed to develop his thinking in terms of his place in the world. Remember, this is all an expression of the Adam Ayin, to be makir b'toivas shel geshomim lispalom. That means that the extended version of that tefillah, which becomes so detailed in the 19 brachas that we have, the order, how it is that we derive that order, is also very important because it's a gilui in how it is that Danogas Hashem is coming out, as we'll see in a moment. So they therefore reconstructed through Shimon HaPakuli what the makaris were to be able to once again connect to the way that the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah had taken from the Torah, the nature of the tefillah. And here we see, with these next words, how central those limudim were. Because mikan ve'elech asur lesaper b'shvacho shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're not allowed to just go around and make up Baruch Hashem, and start talking about your new insight into Baruch Hashem. You know, people always say, oh, we should have a bracha for this, you know, like a special bracha for Talisker and so on and so forth, right? So that's the question. Are you allowed to be koveya a bracha? Rashi says this in terms of Kviyas bracha. You're not allowed to define something as a shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that needs to be related to as a particular thing. Because the Omar Rabbi Elazar, my dichtiv mi yemalel givurot Hashem, yashmia kol tehilato. So who is able to completely expose the powers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Somebody who could say over all of what there is to say. I mean, that's ridiculous. He could say all there is to say. I mean, with the foolish language that we have. So, lamina elam alel gvorot Hashem, lamish yachol hashmiya kok tehilato. You're talking about infinity, so let me give you a brief description of infinity. So, what would that mean? So, therefore, the nature of tefillah, now note that this does not mean that you can't have birchas hanenin, that you can't have birchas hamitzvahs, that's something else. But here we're talking about the nature of tefillah, which is the way in which we have this primal connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a relationship in which the Adam is makir his teva to the Bria and expresses it, so that all aspects of Shmona Esrei, even though this is very important to understand, we split up Shmona Esrei, right? So we have the first three brachas, those are the brachas, basically of Shevach, then we have the Bakoshas, and then we have the what is essentially the period of Haidah and the closing brachas, right? Now, that doesn't mean that if we're saying kol tehila so, that only the brachas of the opening of the Shmon Esrei are considered to be the tehila, and that you could say anything you want. No, because it's referring to the full story of the 19 brachas, which are things that we're talking about that appear to be bakashas. So on that level, they appear to be nothing more than being mevarach on a cup of water. So if you're being mevarach, shakol ni'abid varo, then you should be able to be mevarach on a chonein la'adam das. But the Gemara is saying, no, that's not the point. Chonein la'adam da'at is not a cup of water. It's basically a fundamental relationship, which includes, as the entire 19 brachas include all of the elements together, the question of the first brachas, the Seder HaBrachas, and the last brachas, that's the idea of the focus. But the overall sense is that you're being mashmia tehillah Hashem together with the bakoshas, and together with the strengthening kavayochal, the yigdal no keach Hashem, and the yishmol b'ni borcheni, and so on. It's still bottom line is ultimately an expression of tehillah Asai. And therefore, you cannot simply arbitrarily see an area as being a fundamental way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shevach is expressed in the world. Because Adarabah, it would be a kilkel. And in fact, as the Gemara says, if you do such a thing, Omar Rabba Barbachona, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, HaMesaper B'Shvachor Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoter Min Dai, is Ne'ekar Min HaOlam. Somebody who speaks out things that were not kavua by Chazal as being brachas, he in the end is going to rip himself out of the world. Shenemar, hayisupar lo ki adaber, imamar ish ki evula. So basically what Yov is saying over here, listen, is it really able to be told that I should speak? And if a person would want to do something, ki yivula, he would be swallowed alive. So you have to be very careful. Dorash Rabbi Yehuda, ish kvar giburaya, v'amr lo ish kvar giborchayo, that the posek that says, lecha dumiya tehila, to you, the greatest tehila is quiet. Sama dekula, the best medication in the world is learning how to shut up. Sama de kula mashtuka. And Kiyata Rav Dimi, he says, you know what they say in Eretz Yisrael? They say, if you're willing to pay a buck for a word, then pay two to have the guy shut up. So the mila is betraying, but the mashtuka is betraying. This very much is the absurdity of a human being coming to tell over the tehillah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore, the hints in the psukim are the ideas in which the embedded hanhogas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu are those that we're mechuyev to relate to in that fashion, leida, that they're tzerech habriyos, and to be makir teva for them, and to then go and express them, as Rashi says in Bereshis. Then gets back to the Mishnah. Kira'al peh lo yatsa. So if you read the Megillah, you don't read it, you say it over by heart, so you're not yotze. So where does it say that you have to read it out of the Megillah? Oh, my Rava, this is another Gzeira Shava. Again, this relates to the question we had earlier. Can you really make a Gzeira Shava in the Megillah because it's Divrei Kabbalah? We don't make a Gzeira Shava, or do we actually learn out from the fact that, as we're about to see, the Divrei, the idea of Shalom ve'emet relates to the actual ability to be derish from the Megillah, maybe that itself is part of the reason that we treat it like a true Gezer HaShava, the way Rashi does. But in any event, Rava says whether this is a real Gezer HaShava, like Rashi, or whether it's the idea of the common usage of the language, and therefore it's a Gilui Milza, the Alma, the way others learn. But since it says in the Megillah, the Hayamim Ha'ela Nizikarim, and the original, this goes all the way back to the beginning of the Masechet, of the interrelationship of the story of Amalek with Yoshua and Moshe Rabbeinu to the story of Purim, where it says there, Ktov Zot Zikaron Basefer. So just like over there, the Zikaron has to be Basefer, Here too, if it talks about the idea of Yamim Ha'ela Nizkarim, is the same lotion of Zikaron. So then it has to be in a Sefer, which means that it has to be in a properly written book, which is defined in the Halacha, the way a Sefer Torah is defined. Wait a minute. It says to remember it in a book. It doesn't say to read it. So what makes you say that the lotion of Zechira is actual Kriya? Dilma Iyun Be'alma. Maybe it means that you are thinking about it, but it doesn't mean it has to be read out of the book. Says the Gemara, no, that's the whole point. Because Benogea the Etzem Mitzvah of Zechira, what's that mitzvah? Zechor es asher asah lecha Amalek, right? Now that, we have the drosha like this. It says in the Pasuk Zechor. So you might think that that means Yochol Balev, says the Braisa. Kishu omer lo tishkach, it says do not forget. So obviously, if I'm not forgetting, there's no point of telling me Zechor Belev. Of course, Zechor Belev. Must be that you're adding something here. So Hare Shikhat Alev Amor Belosh Tishkach. So then why am I told Zechor? Mani Mekayim Zechor? That must mean Bepeh. And this is as the Rambam brings in terms of Pesach, that this is Zechor HaTayom Hazeh, and this is the Chiyav of Bepeh, and this is the same Zechor, as the Rambam points out, as Zechor at Yom HaShabbat, Lekatsho, which means the need to articulate the Kedusha of Shabbos at the beginning and at the end, and to say Kiddush and Havdalah. Okay, continues the Mishnah. If you read it even in Targum, you're not Yotze, and certainly not other languages. So Rashi understands the Mishnah, as he explains it in the Mishnah, that this is Zo ve'ein tzarich lomar Zo. If you can't read it in Targum, Kol Sheken, you can't read it in another language. We'll talk about Greek in a moment. Zehechi dami. So tell me what the case is over here. Is it written in regular Lashon HaKodesh, and he is reading it aloud, doing a simultaneous translation into Targum? But then, a translation is reading it Baal Peh. The fact that you have a reference to a text is not the same as reading a text. You're not reading the text. You're saying something Baal Peh, which is the Targum that you're creating. So that can't be the case. It's got to be that the Megillah itself was actually written in Targum, and he's reading it out of the Megillah in Targum, and nonetheless, it's not kosher because it has to be in Lashon HaKodesh. So then how do you explain the continuation of the Mishnah? The Mishnah continues to say, Aval korino talelo hazot belaz. You can read it in any other language to people who speak that language. So then, didn't you just say a minute ago that kira'a b'chol lashon lo yatsa? You said you're not yotze in any other language, and then you said, but you can read it in other languages. Can you or can't you? So Rav Shmuel Amar Tarvayu, there's a special case, and this case that's talking about you can read it in another language, that's talking about Greek, specifically Greek, and nothing else. Because remember, as we learned before at the beginning of the Masechet, that was goof of the Machlokas between the Chachomim and Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. So according to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, there's a special heter for Yevanit, and that's the Yaft Elokim LeYefet that we learned it out from. And so therefore, the Mishnah is going like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, and it's saying that the one exception to the rule of not being able to read a Megillah in another language is that it should be written in Greek. Okay, could you explain to me, like, what are we talking about? Is it written in Greek language and characters, or is it you translating into Greek? What do you mean? Hechidami. I have the same argument I had before. If it's written in Hebrew and you're reading it in Greek, so to speak, doing a simultaneous translation, we already pointed out that that's not called reading. That's called translating, and that's alpet. No, obviously, no, it's written in Greek, and you're reading it in Greek. And that, and only that, is mutter. Masha'inkin, reading it in any other language, even if it's written in that language, is not mutter. The Omer Rav Acha, Omer Rabbi Elazar. Once we're quoting Rav Acha, Omer Rabbi Elazar, you should know that minayin shekira'o HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeYaakov El. How do we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls Yaakov Avinu El? Because it says, Vayikra lo El Elohe Yisrael. We understand that to mean that Vayikra lo to Yaakov, we just finished discussing what it was. It says Vayatsev Shom Mizbeach. So Yaakov built a Mizbeach. Vayikra lo El Elohe Yisrael. Instead of saying Vayikra lo Yaakov, El Elohe Yisrael, that he called the Mizbeach, it seems to be saying that Vayikra lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu called the person who was Vayatev Shom Mizbeach, El. Who called him El? Elohe Yisrael. So that would mean Vayikra lo Le Yaakov El. Umikra o El? Elohe Yisrael called him El. Strange drasha. This is one of the most. I mean, because the Medrash takes this a lot further than the Gemara talks about it. The Medrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yaakov, "Listen, I think we should switch places. You should become El up in the sky, and I'll become El down on earth. What do you say about that?" So the Ramban has all types of profound elements that in the pasuk itself that describe this, but on the Pashtus, Tosfos points out that this is very common. We have this all the time because whenever we have the story of naming a mizbeach, it always talks in that way. So as he points out, doesn't it say Vayikra Shmo Hashem Nisi? I mean, we don't say that. That means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu called Moshe Hashem. I mean, that's weird. Or Vayikra Lo Hashem Shalom. So, and it doesn't say who it was that does the Kriya, but we don't assume that it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu doing the Kriya. So Tosfos explains that where there is a specific event on which the Mizbeach would be named, then it's obvious that the meaning of the Pasuk is that the person who built the Mizbeach as a Zikoron of that event, and therefore the event becomes embedded in the actual Asiya of the Mizbeach. Masha'en came over here, there was no event. What possibly could be the reason to call this Mizbeach the words Ke'el Elokei Yisrael? I mean, like, what, how does it relate to it? So therefore, if it meant that, and it's coming to point out to some kind of embedded event, it should have stressed in the pasuk. By the way, this is an approach that Tosfos often has in places like this, where the Gemara makes diyukim, and there are other places where it seems to be exactly the same, that diyukim are not made. Tosfos' standard answer to that question is that where something is unclear and should have been clarified, so if something is ambiguous, that's where we make these diyukim. But where it's obvious, then of course the simple meaning is the simple meaning. And that would have been true over here. Fine, Moshe Andel's point is a very good point, but we have to see that point as part of the Gilui itself, of why we're making this drasha, and how it relates back to the idea of Zikorein B'Sefer, in which this becomes the equivalent of a Zikorein of an event in something that is physical. Anyway, so getting back to our sugi again, we're getting back now again to the Mishnah. So we got up to, we turned aside because of the Vayikra Lokel, we're getting back to the question of the different languages. So you are telling me that it's specifically the case of Greek that we're referring to, where it says that you could be Koril Loaziot, but certainly not in general. You can't use other languages. Is that true? Doesn't it say Kira'a Jiptit, Ivrit, Elamit, Madit, Yevanit, Lo Yatsa? So something is weird, because over here, the Braita said, and it groups the Greek together with all of these other languages, and it says over here, Dafka, you are not Yotze. So how do you explain that? So, by the way, it's very interesting that this is the only place that the Gemara actually refers to Egypt as Egypt instead of Mitzrayim, which is Jiptit, which is, you could see the relationship of the word Jip to Jipt, to Egypt, which actually became the Greek word for Mitzrayim, which becomes the modern day Coptic. Coptic is like when you lose the J. So then, as Hebrew speakers unfortunately did, Ashkenazic ones anyway. So when you lose the jiz, so you end up with Giptic, which ends up with Coptic, which was in fact the language of Mitzrayim. Remember, I mean, they didn't speak Arabic in Mitzrayim until very recently, in historical terms. So then that language was the language of Egyptians. We call it Gyptis. Very fascinating, though. And the same thing is true of Ivrit. Ivrit, not to be confused with Loshon HaKodesh, but the standard language, like other language of those who lived in Eber HaNahar, as opposed to whenever we talk about, I mean, obviously Paro could speak Ivrit, but he could not speak Loshon HaKodesh. Okay, or of Elam, Modai, Yavan, you're not Yotze. So then how did Rav and Shmuel say that you are Yotze with Yavanit? No. Halodamya Elalaha, when they were talking about this teretz of Rav and Shmuel, is the like we have in the Braita that explains that if you're talking about Jiptit leJiptim, or Ivrit leIvrim, or Elamim leElamim, Elamit leElamim, or Yevanit leYevanim, then you would be Yotze. Masha Ein Kein, when we said before you're not Yotze, it's talking about people who don't understand Greek. Wait a minute. This is all Greek to me. I mean, because Iachi, Rav and Shmuel, am I mukmin lelamas nisim belaz Yevanit? So it's ridiculous. The Braisa puts all languages in the same set. If you speak the language, you're Yotze. If you don't speak the language, you're not Yotze. Rav and Shmuel, who said, talking about Greek, and we asked the Kasha and we answered, it's talking about if you understand the language. But if you understand the language, then the Braisa is saying it could be any language. So why would they say Dafkat's talking about Greek? It makes no sense. So obviously, we're missing the point over here. The Mishnah is exactly the same as the Braisa. So the Braisa is saying any language at all, not only Greek, is okay if that's the language that you understand. But you would not be Yotze to other people who are not speakers of that language. And by the way, it's a big discussion among the poskim. And the Mishnah Berurah talks about this question. What about if you are in an area where everybody is speaking, let's say, Greek? You don't speak Greek, and you speak Coptic. Can they read the Megillah in Coptic for you, or is a language defined as the language of the country where you are, and not something that's idiosyncratic? Now, that's what the Mishnah Berurah thing, everybody screams about this, like, where would that come from? But the point is that a language is meaningful because what we're talking about is this is what people speak. The fact that you happen to understand, that's like saying you can read the Megillah to a twin from a twin's language that no one else on earth understands. Would that be called a language? So that's what the Bishop Buratain is. That's not called a language. A language has to be that which people are speaking. So if people are not speaking it, you happen to speak it, no. I mean, as Akiva will remember, you know, I mean, Doc was talking with PK in Attic Greek, you know, so because of that, he should be able to read the Megillah to PK in Attic Greek. So that's good for the Mishnah Berurah's point. Of course, as the Rambam explains, nobody would be Yotze because that is not called a language because it's not a living language. And those people don't speak that language. But I got to tell you that if anything, the Rambam is Meduyak, not like the Mishnah Berurah, because he says, "Kvar nishkach," this language has been wiped out, which is mashma that is what cancels its usage. And, he's telling that, you know, what it is that you're speaking, the reconstruction, an archaeological reconstruction, is not really the tvisa of the language. Okay, anyway, so getting back to it, the Gemara says no, so therefore everything makes sense. The Mishnah and the Braita are completely consistent. Any language that is understood by the people there, that's the language you can read it in. And Rav and Shmuel were not talking about the Mishnah. You thought they meant to answer the Mishnah. It didn't make any sense to answer the Mishnah like that. Rav and Shmuel were making a statement of halacha that had nothing to do with the Mishnah. It says, Rav Shmuel da'amri tavayu laz yevani lakol kosher. Whereas other languages can only be utilized for the Megillah if you happen to be knowledgeable in that language. And that's what you speak. And we mentioned yesterday, it's machlokas, whether that has to be the only language that you understand, but you don't understand Lashon HaKodesh or not. But what Rav Shmuel is saying is that you're even able to read a Megillah in Greek to someone who does not speak Greek, and you would be Yotze. But that's not true. The Braita says, it listed all the languages, and it mentioned Yevanit, and it said, if you said in it Yevanit le Yevanim, you'd have to say it to somebody who speaks that language. Now you're saying the Rav and Shmuel are going against the Braita? Yes, they are going against the Braita, because the Braita and the Mishnah, that was Aliba, the Rabbanan, against Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. But Rav and Shmuel are basically paskening like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, the Tnan. Remember, we had this before the beginning of the Masechta, that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, he's Eimer, that Av Sfarim lo itiru shikatfu ela Yevanit, so that you're allowed to write your Sefer Torah in Greek. So what they're saying is that the same thing is true about the Megillah, according to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, that it is the same as Lashon HaKodesh. And in the same way, your Yotzei for anyone in Lashon HaKodesh, your Yotzei in Greek for anyone, whether they speak Greek or not. I mean, that's a little weird, isn't it? I mean, if they're paskening like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, shouldn't they just say Halachic Reb Shimon ben Gamliel? I mean, like, what are they coming up with this new brilliant statement that you can read the Megillah in Greek? Just say Halachic Reb Shimon ben Gamliel. No, if they said Halachic Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, I might have thought that that would not apply to the Megillah. You can write according to Reb Shimon ben Gamliel in Greek anything but the Megillah. Why not the Megillah? Because remember, the Megillah dichtiba kichtavam, the whole diak in the Megillah was from the word kichtavam, which means that it has to be written in only as you would write it as a Yisrael, which is in Lashon HaKodesh, or maybe Emelo. Maybe over there, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel would be made that you're not Yotzei in Yevanit. Therefore, come along, Rav and Shmuel, kamash malam, that Reb Shimon ben Gamliel is matir, even the Megillah, to even somebody who doesn't speak Greek, to write it and to read it in Yevanit. Fine. Okay. Question is, it's a big machlokas about whether we pass in the way like Reb Shimon ben Gamliel alibi the Rav Shmuel, because they were both maskim, or not. Not that it's nogea, because as the Rambam explained, the Greek, what we have as Greek is not the Greek that we're talking about in the Gemara. Now the Mishnah continues. Halo eiz sheshama ashurit yatsa. And anybody would be yotzei if you heard it in Lashon HaKodesh. Now, does that make sense? I mean, wasn't the whole point of the Megillah basically an expression of the Zikaron? Because it says Nizkarim, and we learn it out from Ketav Zot Zikaron the Sefer, and we have all of the Inyonim of Pirsume Nisa, and like, a guy doesn't know what you're talking about. You're saying he should be sitting there and listening to it in Greek, which is Hebrew, but it's called Greek to him again. So how could he possibly be Yotzei not having the slightest idea what you're talking about? It's all gobbledygook. So halo yada maiko amar. So, since I understand, would you say that women who don't speak Lashon HaKodesh, they only speak Yiddish, so there shouldn't be Yotzei the Megillah? Are you saying that Amei Haaretz that only speak Yiddish, so they're not going to be Yotzei Megillah? I mean, and you never asked over there. I mean, it's all gobbledygook. Why don't you say it's all gobbledygook? Why indeed don't you say it's all gobbledygook? Why were you only asking me about this case? I'll tell you why. Because you understood and you took it for granted that if the old Jewish grandmother is sitting there and she's swaying back and forth and paying close attention to the Megillah, even though she does not know what the words mean. So you understand that is what listening to a Megillah means. So that, as we'll explain in a minute, why it's actually meaningful in any way. But you understand it's not just gobbledygook. So fine, same thing over here. Matki Floravina says, can you explain to me what your problem is? What, do you know what the Megillah means? I love the way you're talking about it. It's all gobbledygook. So what if you don't understand the Megillah? And do you know what the words, Achashtranim b'nei haramachim? Go ahead, tell me what that means. I don't know what it means. There's all kinds of conjectures. It means flying camels, whatever. But we have no idea really what the Pony Express that's being referred to over here, you know, was it Teslas, Mercedes, or flying camels? I don't know. So basically that means that you also can relate to words that ought to be gobbledygook, but they're not gobbledygook. There's an overall understanding. So basically it's the same idea. So then what's it about? It's about the mitzvah of Kriya and Pirsumei Nisa. The mitzvah that was made was not for you to necessarily understand. The mitzvah was to make a fuss. And in making the fuss, so people will ask questions. and want to know what the fuss is all about and what is the story all about. And the kids who don't understand a word of Hebrew are still going to play their Esther and Achashverosh plays and so on and so forth, because that's exactly the way that you achieve the Pursumei Nisa. So Menela, it's the same thing over here. So even though these people don't understand that they come to Shul and everybody is reading, it's Mitzvahs Kriya u'Pursumei Nisa. Next piece of the Mishnah. Kira'az Seirugin Yatza. So if you made gaps in your Kriya and you stopped in between, you're not Yotze. Now, we had this, remember we had this before, that Lo Abayade Rabbanan Mai Seirugin. The Rabbanan didn't know what the word Seirugin means. So Shamuel Amta Devei Rebbe, once they heard the maid in Rebbe's house, and she was basically the mashgiach. I mean, boy, these guys used to suffer from her. So she tells these guys that are coming in late to shear, Admatai at Rebbe, they would come in like little groups, and you had to open the door, they come in again, they come in late. Admatai atem nichlasim serugin serugin. Come in like mention, you know. I have to come back to the door every 3 minutes and open up the door for you. Get together and come on in like normal human beings in time for shir, and you'll sit down. So then they understood. Seirugin, seirugin means in drops. Paske, paske. So you make interruptions. So we didn't know what the word chaluglugot meant, even though it's all over in the Mishnayos. Shema'ul amta devei Rebbe. So once they heard Rebbe's maid say to a guy who is playing with parpachine, not that I know what parpachine are, but they translate it as purslain, Ad matay ata mifazer chaluglugecha? How long are you going to playing around with shooting marbles with chaluglugot? And then they understood that chaluglugot were parpachine. Also, lo havia rabbanon my salsalea utero memeka. So what does it mean when it says you should be misalsal the Torah and the Torah will lift you up? So Shamuel amta devei Rebbe, the Havet Amra lahu gavet avem ahapich b'masya. There was this guy in Shir, and he was sitting there twisting his little curly hair around his finger, you know, and he's constantly touching his hair and playing with it. So she shouts at him, Ad matay ata misalsal b'sa'arecha? So how long are you going to end up being misalsal? So they understood that that means that you'll be misalsel, means to twist it around, to think about it, to do this to Torah, the Torah will uplift you. This is more, by the way, you'll notice this is more of the language issues in that are so prevalent in our Masechet. Lo havi yadi rabbanan mai hashleich al Hashem Yehovcha. Throw your Yahav on Hashem. What in the world is a Yahav? So I'm a Rabbi Barbachana. So I'll tell you, once I was on the road with this Arab guy, and Zimno Chodav Azlina Bari Ahutaya, and he's carrying, I was carrying this like heavy backpack, and it was a very heavy load. And so he says to me, Amrili, why don't you take your Yahav and throw it onto my camel? So then I understood that a Yahav is a load. So I threw the load. So it's saying, take your load and throw it kevayochol on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shoulders. Let him help you and support you. The word matate was not a common word in those days. We only made it a common word because Ben Yehuda knows the Gemara. So it says over here that I will be mitate. I will take a broom of destruction, and I shall use it to wipe out the enemies. So they know what it was. Shamul Amta Devei Rebbe, Davit Amr L'Chaverta. So they hear this maid telling one of her lackeys, okay, grab a broom and sweep up the house. Shkoli Tateta V'Tati Beta. So they understood. Oh, that's what it is. Tana Rabbana. Anyway, getting back to the Mishnah. So it says in a Braisa that if you read the Megillah Seirugin, so then you are Yotze. Now, that's like the Mishnah. But if you read it Seirusin, Seirusin means that you cut it into different parts, then you invert the parts, so that's Shaloka Sidran. And there you're not Yotze. But Reb Muna Omer Mishum Reb Yehuda, the truth is, you can't wait forever in between the various parts of the Megillah. it still needs to be a narrative that is related to as a single narrative. So how long could you wait between the parts of the Megillah that you're reading? Well, im shaha kedei ligmor et kula chozer l'rosh. If you've waited long enough that you could have finished the entire Megillah, you're going to have to go back and start over again. Omar Rav Yosef, that's the halacha. Halacha k'rabbuna she'omar mishum Rabbi Yehuda. But what exactly does it mean to finish the whole thing? Omar le'abayel Rav Yosef, when you say to finish the whole thing, do you mean from wherever you are till the end, me'ech nekoy le'seifa? Or do you mean how long it would take to read the whole Megillah from the beginning to the end? So Rav Yosef says, well, obviously it means how long it would take from beginning to end, because if not, you're constantly going to need to redefine the amount of time that you're talking about, which is the shear of Seirugin. We never do that. We always give you a time. But otherwise, it's natata devarecha l'shiurin. You are saying that there's an infinite number of possibilities, depending on where you are at the particular moment that the shayla is raised. Omer Baba, Omer Birme Bar Abba, Omer Rav, Halacha Rabbi Muna. But Shmuel says, Ein Halacha Rabbi Muna, and Besura Matnu Hachi. But Bepumpadita, they said it, that was Rav Kahana. And Omer Rav Kahana, Omer Rav, Halacha Rabbi Muna, and Shmuel Omer, Ein Halacha Rabbi Muna, as opposed to Rababa Omer B'Shem Rabbi Yirmiya Bar Abba. They didn't have that in Pumpadita. And not only that, there's another version, which is really confusing, because over here we invert the Shitas. So Rav Bevi Mas the Ipcha, that Rav Amar Ein Halacha K'Rabbi Muna, and Shmuel Amar Halacha is K'Rabbi Muna. Rav Yosef, well, that's the right approach. And the code to Rav Bevi Biyatcha, because it's consistent. I'll tell you why, because Shmuel is always the one who, if there's a das yochid, which is machmir, he's always choshesh for that. Like, for instance, so we had the Mishnah in Yavames, that in a case of a shomeret yavam, who was mekadish achivet achota. So here the story is this. Remember, there's a halacha called zika. Zika means that the moment that a yavama falls to a surviving brother, so there exists already a deoraisa connection between them, which prevents her from marrying anyone, and that is seen as a level of Kiddushin. So because of that, as long as that is still extant, that Zika, so then you cannot actually marry, let's say, the sister of that person. Now, what if there's more than one brother? So generally speaking, it's the oldest brother who is called upon to perform either Yibum or Chalitza. In this case, there were a number of brothers, and a younger brother goes ahead, and while this Yavama is waiting for either Yibum or Chalitza from the older brother, he goes ahead and he makes a act of Kiddushin, normal Kiddushin, on the sister of the woman who fell to Yibum. Now, if there was only one brother, you could not do that because the Zika would give a din of Achot Ishto in the sense of Achot Zekukato. And therefore, you can't be Makadish or sister. But over here, there's numerous brothers. And in fact, the norm would be that the younger brother would not be the one. So there's a big machlokas about whether Bichlal, if there's more than one brother, is Zika an actual state that will impact all of the brothers and make it impossible for any brother to therefore be Makadish the sister. That's what it's talking about over there. So it says over there that a Shomeret, this is all from the Mishnah in Yavamis, that a Shomeret Yavam, Shekidesh Achivet Achota, so the brother of the older Yavam, he goes in and he gives Kiddushin to the sister of the woman who's waiting for Yibam. So Mishum Reb Yudah ben Betira Amru, look, the Beis Din tells this guy, do not go to the chuppah and do not conclude the marriage. Ad sheyaseh achicha hagadol ma'aseh. You wait until your older brother finishes his job, which could be either chalitza or yibam, whatever it is that is decided on. And that would mean that according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Betira, there is zika even where there's more than one brother. And Shmuel over there, even though it's a das yochid, because the Rabbanan argue with Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, Omar Shmuel alochik Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira, that you should wait until the other brother takes care of the yibum or the chalitza. So it's bestabber over here that Shmuel was also choshesh here too for the das of the shita that you have to worry about imshah kedei ligmor es kula, that would be too much of a break and you wouldn't be yotze if you were korei b'serugin. Tana Rabbana, hishmit ba sofer otiyoto psukim, ukra'ana korei kemiturgman hametargem yatsa. Suppose there were letters that were missing from your Megillah, or even a pasuk, and the person who's reading the Megillah, he knows what it should say, and he reads it as if he's the miturgman. So he reads it bal peh, just that part which was missing. So if you read just that part that is missing, so then you would be yotze. What? It says, Hayuba otiyot metushtashot umakoraot. So if there were letters that were like half erased, or they were torn through, so im rishumam nikar, so if still I can make out the letter, it's already considered to be kosher because it's legible enough. But im lav psula. And you said that the Megillah that doesn't have a pasuk in it is kosher, and then you can make it up and say that pasuk from memory? Well, yeah, what's the problem? Lo kasha, the Braita, which says that it would be possible, that means the whole Megillah, or the Rove of the Megillah, is written in barely legible letters. Bashenkin, what we were saying is, you have a beautiful Megillah, and it's missing a letter, or it's missing a pasuk. That is talking about the Miktsata. So that the Miktsata could be even a lot, but it's not the Rove, it's not even half. So over there, it would be kosher. Tana Rabbana, suppose the person who's reading the Megillah, he forgot a pasuk. He skipped a pasuk. He shmit ba korei pasuk echad. So then he or the listener can't say, okay, fine, let's finish the reading, and then I'll go back, and then I'll make up the missing pasuk. Well, obviously, you can't do that, right? Because that would be reading it out of sequence, which we said is asur. So lo yomar ekrat kulav achakach ekra oto pasuk. He has to go back, read that pasuk, and read from that point on. Now, suppose somebody comes into shul late, and they're already in the middle of Kriyat HaMegillah. So they're halfway through. So he should not say to himself, okay, great, this is a beautiful laning. I'll hear this half of the Megillah, the second half of the Megillah, I'll hear from this guy. And then afterwards, I'll manage to make it up and read the first part myself. I'll go back to the beginning. No, he can't be yotzi at all from this guy's laning. Yes, go back to the beginning and read it mitchila, galakoreota, mitchila, atsof. And therefore, I mean, you might have thought that, I mean, it's how the Rishonim understand. I mean, it's not obvious. If you told me even one pasuk, I mean, I would miss half of the Megillah. Because you might have thought that as long as the piece that you're reading hangs together. So then afterwards I'll make up the missing part of the story. But I mean, I've got a whole chunk of the story. So I didn't hear the part about, you know, the party that Achashverosh made, but I heard the part from the moment that he knocked off Vashti till the end. So I'll make up the part about the party. Kamash Malon, you can't even be yotze a complete section. And then it says, if you're half asleep, so then you would be yotze, your mitnam name. So what exactly does mitnam name mean? Richie, would you like to join us?
It's coming online. That's my special.
I know. That's why I figured we would. I figured we'd ask for some expert opinions on the status of mitnam name. So, hechi dami mitnam name. Again, as we always, the Gemara always responds to this question. We had it back in Pesachim also. What happens in mitnam name in the middle of the Seder? Omer Ravashi. It means nim velo nim, tir velo tir. Look, you're asleep, but not fully asleep. You're awake, but you're not fully awake. I mean, if we say, Richie, he always answers, and he'll say, Zok de Helika Mishnah, no matter what you say. So we've got, he'll answer, yes, you know. And if you remind him, Richie, did you put the car keys in the refrigerator? He'll remember. No, I didn't put it in the refrigerator. Okay, so that he'll remember. But if you ask him to say something reasonable, which he's got to use his mind to work out, He can't do that. Lo yada la dure svara, but ki mitka le mitka. Haya kotva, dorsha, magia. Then we went on to this idea of kavana salev. So there you are, you're writing Megillah, you're saying a drasha on the Megillah, or you're correcting a Megillah that needs some words fixed. So if you were mechaving to be yotze, you would be yotze. So when we talk about you were writing the Megillah, how exactly did you read the Megillah if you're just writing it now? What does that mean? Does it mean that k'komesaver psuka psuka v'katavla? Now what? So you say it over baal peh, and then you write it, and what good is that? If you were mechaving the libo, you'd be yotze. How could you be yotze? That's like classic doing it by heart, baal peh. So maybe what it means is that first you write down the pasuk, and then you read the pasuk from what you wrote down. No. No, you can't read a pasuk, even if it's written as a Megillah, when there's no end to the Megillah. You need a Megillah. Umiyatza, you wouldn't be yotze because you wrote down that pasuk and you're reading it as it's being written. Look, there's a machlokas later on about how much of the Megillah has to be read. You know, that's true. And we paskin l'maisa locha k'divrei ha'omer kula. You need to read the entire Megillah, not only from the words, ish yudi, ayabashusha, that's one shita, Reb Yehuda shita. We don't paskin like that. But you should know that even Alibet Reb Yehuda, who says only need to read from the word, ish yudi, ayabashusha, nabira, but everybody agrees you need a Megillah that is written from the beginning to the end. It's two different issues. So, I mean, what good would it do to read a pasuk where there's no pasuk that follows? It's not a Megillah. So it's got to be talking about that there is a Megillah in front of him that he is copying. So he's writing the Megillah, but he's reading each pasuk. So he reads Ish Yudi Ayabashushan Abira, and then he turns to the Megillah that he's writing, and he writes down Ish Yudi Ayabashushan Abira. Then he turns back to the Megillah that he's copying, and he reads aloud, Ushmo Mordechai ben Yair ben, and so on. And then he goes back and he writes it down. So what he's saying is that even though the act of what he was doing doesn't seem to be the act of Kriyas HaMegillah, but if he was mechavin his lave, that this is the way that he's going to be yotzei the Megillah, and he's reading it out of a real Megillah, so he would be yotzei. That must be what it means. So if that's the case, I mean, like, the Mishnah seems to take for granted that we're talking about a Megillah that's right in front of you that you're copying. So why is that? I mean, this seems to be a riot to Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, because Rabbi Bar Bar Chana explained that Amar Rabbi Yochanan, asur lichtov ot achat shelo min haktav. If you are writing the Megillah, you cannot copy from your mind onto the Megillah as you're writing. You can only write it from a written Megillah, because that's what it says over here. How do you prove that? I don't understand. The Mishnah is talking about a case where that happened. So Dilmi Yisrani Yisrumuye, we're saying in the event that you were copying a Megillah and you hadn't wanted to read from it, you would be yotze. How can you prove from here that that's the only way that you could possibly write a Megillah? I mean, it doesn't say anything like that. All right, so can't bring a riot. Now, let's talk about it. Gufa. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana said that according to Rabbi Yochanan, you can't even write one letter that shalom in aktav. You have to have an open Megillah in front of you, and you're looking at it, and then you're copying it onto it. Meitzvah? Omer Reb Shimon ben Elazar, I could tell you there was once a Maisa, and Rabbi Meir traveled, that was his trip to Hong Kong, so he was halach la'aber shana ba'asya, and he didn't have a Megillah, and he got stuck there for Purim, and what was he going to do? So he wrote the Megillah from his own memory, and then he read from that Megillah. Wow. But I thought you're not allowed to do that. Rabbi Meir, come on. I mean, this doesn't apply to Rabbi Meir. I mean, Rabbi Meir is different. The Mekayebe ve'af apecha yashiru negdecha, that your very eyes, they're able, that your pupils themselves, they look straight, meaning even. Amale Rami Bachom, Rabbi Yomi Difti, my afafecha yashir negdecha. How does that relate to Torah? Oh my Lord, no, that's what it means. Elo divrei Torah. Divrei Torah says, unless you're looking right at them, The moment you turn your eyes away for a moment and you blink, you notice you forgot everything you were thinking about. So there's, you need to be constantly involved in that Torah in order for it to be with you. It says there, ha-ta'ifenecha bo'veneno, it's gone, it just disappears. And nonetheless, even something that is so difficult to remember precisely were miyusharin yashiru negdecha, they were miyusharin etzor Rabbi Meir, and he didn't have to worry. But wait a minute, Rav Chisda once bumped in Rav Chananel, and he comes in and he sees him that he's writing for him without having the sefer in front of him. And he says, Rav Chisda says to him, Ru'uya kola tera kula likateva yadecha. Rav Chananel, obviously the whole tera can be written from your memory, that's for sure. But that doesn't give you a right to do it. Now, if he said that to Rabbi Hanina, he said those words, so then that means that he is being made that as far as Rabbi Hananel is concerned, he's the same as Rabbi Meir. He could actually write without any error. He could write a sefer. So how do you explain the fact that Rabbi Meir went ahead and he wrote the Megillah, and now he's telling Rabbi Hananel, you can't do it? No, come on. I mean, Rabbi Meir didn't make this a standard practice, did he? He was stuck in Hong Kong. I mean, so what do you want? So where was he going to get a Megillah? So was he supposed to not write the Megillah? Obviously, you're supposed to write it in a Ktav, but if you don't have the Ktav, then that's all you can do. Shatat Chak, Shani, the Rabbanan said, normally, don't do it. And Abaye was matir, the people who were in the Bei Bar Chavo. Remember, the Bei Bar Chavo was the equivalent of the Beit El Tefillin factory in those days. So, because that the Gemara says, tefillin Bei Bar Chavo Shchichi. So, it's easy to get tefillin nowadays. So, they used to write tefillin by the dozens all the time. They were just producing tefillin, mass-produced tefillin. And Abaye was matir them to write the Parsha Shalom in Achtav. Lichtov tefillin a mezuzah Shalom in Achtav. And who is that going according to? Kiman, ki aitana, detanya, Rabbi Yirmi, Omri, Mishum Rabbeinu. Tefillin and mezuzahs can be written Shalom min haktav. And not only that, you do not need sirtut in order to write the tefillin and mezuzahs. However, that's not really true la'alocha. The yocheta is that although tefillin don't require sirtut, even though the Ashkenazim are very makpid, even on sirtut, bakht sirtut from the side and so on, but it's not la'alocha l'meshem Yisinai. But mezuzot aren't tzrichot sirtut. This was the machlokas between the Rabbeinu Tam and Rashi that we had before about what the din is of the Megillas Esther. Ine ve'ini, but both tefillin and mezuzos are allowed to be written shalom min achtav. Why? My time, because migras gris. And these are things people say over. They say over these parshas all the time. So it's the type of thing that you know, everybody knows. So, Bishlam, I understand kol ha-Torah kula requires a Rebbe Meir and a Rebbe Hananel to be miyusharim. But everybody is able to tell you over the parshas and a mezuzah so that you can write your bichtav. Then we said, haitak tuva besam or besikra and so on and so forth. We don't know exactly what those things are. So some is Sama. That is the question. What precisely that's Urpiment, says Rashi. So this is basically pretty poisonous stuff, but it's a dye that was used all the time. It's based, if I'm not mistaken, on not on cyanide, on, oh gosh.
Arsenic?
Yes, thank you. Yes. I think it's arsenic sulfide, yes. Thank you. He's going nuts over there. Okay, and what is Sikra? Omar Rabba Barbachana. That's called Sikrita. Okay, so according to Rashi, that's vermilion, which they use also, common dye. They used to use it for parts of the house, wooden coverings for windows and so on. And Kumus is Kuma, which is a kind of resin, so it comes from a tree. And kankantum is charta de ushkafi, so that's like boot black, and that you're supposed to use, which is made out of deposits from an oil lamp, which you collect the deposits, and then, I mean, the minig was, and this Tosis points out over here, that this is the way we make ink is very different from the way the Sfarim make ink, and over here in Ashkenaz, how do we get away with making ink the way we do? Because, I mean, basically the ink that is made, in this way with the Charta de Ushkafe, where you collect a lot of this soot, it's mixed with resin, and then it becomes like a piece of coal, which then you can break it up into little pieces. This is what the Gemara talks about, that in Nida, where it's talking about a Mara Dam, Shachar, is like Dio, and that means that you break open a piece of Dio. So that certainly was the way that they used to make Dio. And here, why is it that we get away with using things that are not kosher for Dio? So how do we use these things not in the way that the Gemara says? So he says that it's different. And it's these ingredients, if they're ground very fine, then and they're mixed, then they make an excellent Dio. It's just saying you can't use them on their own, putting them in water, and you get these different colors, a yellow color, a reddish color, or a greenish color. So that, the Gemara is saying, is not real Dio. And when we were talking about what to write the Megillah on, so we said it has to be written in the Sefer, but not on Diftara. What is Diftara exactly? So Diftara is skin, which is Maliach. You salted it, and you even used Kemach on it, which is the next step, but you didn't use afitzim. Afitzim are these nuts that were used to actually finish the treatment of it. And that is a proof against erasures. It doesn't fall off. So that is afitz. And here you weren't ma'afitz. And what is niyar? Niyar is machka. Rashi's machka is essentially papyrus. So you use parts of plants, you hold it together with different glues, and you make a paper out of it.